and welcome to our Sunday worship online here in Bedhampton Parish. My name is Max Cross. I'm the rector, the church leader here in Bedhampton. It's great to be with you this Sunday, the 17th of January 2021, as we come together to worship God, to celebrate all that Jesus is and does in our life. It's good to be with you wherever you are. And first, before we begin, I've got some small pieces of news. You may already get this. You may get the weekly news sheet that we send out. If you don't, just send me an email to the office and or give me a phone call, and we will make sure that we add you to our news sheet. Not a lot to talk about this week. Obviously, as we move forward at the moment, our church buildings are closed for Sunday worship, which is why we gather online. But they are now open during the week, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. for private prayer. St. Thomas's in Bidbury Lane, that is open. As you enter, there are instructions on what you should do. Please do look after yourself. Please don't come along if you're feeling vulnerable at all, or you've been told to isolate. But other than that, as your daily walk, you walk past St. Thomas's, do feel free to drop in for some quiet prayer. In addition to that opportunity for prayer, we meet every week on a Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. for prayer. We gather online. If you want to be involved with that, check out the news sheet or check out the website and join us in praying for Jesus' kingdom, for God's kingdom to come here in Bedhampton or wherever it is that you live. You can do that, as I say, by joining us online, but you can also do that wherever you are, whether you're at work or at home. Just taking that little bit of time on a Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. or whatever time suits you, just to pray for God's kingdom to come here in Bedhampton. If we don't build on God's kingdom, we're just building a foundation on sand. As we know, that doesn't work. So we pray that we are building on the kingdom of God. And a new thing that we're going to be doing, well, a new old thing, as it were. I'm sure this has happened in the past, but we are so convinced that prayer is important here in Bedhampton that we want to reinitiate a prayer ring. A prayer ring, if you don't know what that is, it's a gathering of people remotely where we pray for any emergency prayers and when we pray for the people that are on our news sheet each week. What would happen if you want to be part of that is just to send us an email into the office or leave a message on the answer machine. And you can get your prayer requests by email or by phone. What would happen there is someone would phone you with an emergency prayer request and you pray about that, and then you ring the next person on the ring, and then so on and so on, and it goes round. And eventually everyone gets to hear that this prayer need is there. So if you want to be part of that prayer ring, do get in touch again via email in the office or sending me or give us a call on the answer machine. Well, that's all we need to worry about right now. Like I say, all the information that you need really is on the website or the news sheet. And you can gather those anytime that you want. Because the main reason that we gather today is to worship our God. Now, we're in the middle of looking at the Gospel of Matthew, the biography of Jesus written by Matthew, as we've been slowly working our way through that, occasionally coming back and dipping our toes in the water, as it were. And this week, we are looking again at Matthew, in Matthew 9, as we see Jesus spreading his kingdom where he is. So let's, as we begin, take a moment to be quiet. Any words that you might want to join in with will come up on the screen as we worship together. Let's be quiet for a moment and invite God's Spirit wherever you are. You might even want to say out loud, Lord, we invite your Spirit. Just invite him to be with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And as we come before God and we continue into our worship, it's great just to reset where we are with God, isn't it? It's one of the things that we can do is come before him and confess our sins and our mistakes. He is keen to forgive. And so as we proceed, let's take a moment again just to be quiet for a moment, reflect on our lives. and perhaps even picture in our minds handing over our mistakes to Jesus. I'll say a few words in a moment and then you can join in. So let's be quiet and bring to mind our lives and the areas where we would seek forgiveness. Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith as we say together, "Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew our right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen." And so may the Father of all mercy cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Having now confessed our sins and being wiped clean because of what Jesus did on the cross, we now get to worship him in spirit and truth. And we're going to sing this lovely song together. "I Will Offer Up My Life."
Spirit. pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, by this thankful heart.
I just love that song. Do you know, part of what makes us a community here online is the fact that I'm not the only one that you see on the screen. You see people each week reading from our scriptures. You see people praying to our God, and you see different people preaching as well, don't you, and leading the service, because we are one community. It's not dependent upon one person, but we are one community under God. If there's anything that you feel you'd want to contribute to these online services, maybe you'd like to read from the Bible, or maybe you'd like to pray, or perhaps you've got a story of what's been happening in your life with God that you'd want to share. And you'd like to record that and send that to me, that'd be great. I'd love to share that. If you aren't sure of how to do that, just get in touch with me. We can work it out. But what we want to do is share what God is doing. One of the things that God is doing right now is he's bringing new people to us as we encourage new people to walk on in their faith and their leadership. And you may not know, but we've been joined recently by a lady called Emily, who will be primarily spending most of her time when we're back into our church buildings at St. Nicholas, but also at St. Thomas as well, as she seeks to understand what God is calling her to in leadership in the church. And this week, Emily's going to read our first reading for us from 1 Samuel, and that will be followed by Colin reading from the Gospel of Matthew. So here are our scripture readings for the week.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 8, verses 1 to 22. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. They were the judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not follow in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us, then, a king to govern us, like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now listen to their voice only. You shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plough his ground and some to reap his harvest, and make him implements of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to work. He will take one-tenth of your flock, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, we are determined to have a king over us, so that we may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel had heard the words of the people, he repeated them into the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice and set a king over them." Samuel said to the people of Israel, "Each of you return home." Here ends the reading.
The second reading comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 to 34. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who'd been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." This is the word of the Lord.
Did we have enough faith? I remember feeling that myself as the darkness came over me many, many years ago. Did we have enough faith? We had been praying for a young chap who had been very ill and who had died. And as I heard the news that he had died, in my very immature new Christian state, I wondered if I had been praying hard enough. Had I prayed hard enough? Perhaps if I'd prayed harder or more passionately, God would have heard our prayer. Did we have enough faith? Those were the words that rolled around my mind as the guilt rose up within me. And then afterwards, of course, you know, you read the Bible and we read things like in today's biography of Jesus with Matthew, where suddenly we see Jesus walking around distributing answers to prayer like anything. If someone asks for an answer to prayer, Jesus said yes. You know, he walks up to a Jewish man who says, actually, my daughter is dead or near dead. And Jesus says she's going to be healed. And he heals her. And a woman who's had menstruation problems the whole of her life, and that would have been terrible in that particular society, is healed. Indeed, not one, but two blind men come to Jesus and pester him, and he heals them. And what does Jesus say about all that? He says, according to their faith, they were healed. Do you know, sometimes I just feel inadequate when it comes to prayer and faith. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have seen many great healings and God has answered many of my prayers. But in truth, even this week, as I have been praying for several people to be healed, the echoes of that young lad dying haunt me. Maybe I wonder, do I have enough faith? Maybe I just don't have all the faith that is needed. I imagine that I'm not alone in thinking that sometimes. How do you, I wonder, find your conviction in prayer? How is your faith? Are you fully convinced that God will act upon your prayers? Or perhaps, like me, sometimes you struggle more. You struggle wondering if you have the faith for your prayers to be answered. I wonder then, what can we learn from this collection of books we call the Bible, our scriptures that we place so much emphasis on? Well, several times already I have used the word faith, and I've used it in quite a simplistic way. And perhaps we might discover that the way I've used it is not correct. You see, it's important when we read our Bibles that we read our Bibles in context of the whole of this Bible. The whole of what Jesus says. We don't need to be pulling out individual verses and hanging a theology of Jesus upon just one verse. We need to live the whole of what God says. Hence the reason that it's important that we read this collection of books. And if we do that, what we will discover actually is God's picture for prayer from the whole of his Bible. God's picture for faith from the whole of his Bible. His picture for our lives from the whole of his Bible. And we will discover that faith isn't quite what many of us believe it to be. It certainly isn't that image of what I was when I was a young Christian, worrying that I hadn't had enough faith for that young child to survive. So let's go back quickly then to the beginning of our scriptures, back to Genesis, where we see God in relationship with humans. God places humans in the form of Adam and Eve in the garden. And his whole desire there is to work with humans. His whole desire is to have relationship with humans. However, of course, we find that they stuff it up. But that doesn't stop God. What we see then from Genesis is God, throughout the rest of his Bible, spend time trying to create relationship, trying to build partnership, or what he calls covenants, with his people. It starts perhaps with Noah, where we see God create a covenant between him and Noah. No longer will I flood the earth, he says, and he promises to bless Noah. Later on, of course, that gets mucked up once more. And we see then God create a covenant with Abraham as he promises to bless him and the generations to come. What happens then? Yes, we blow it. So God makes a covenant with the nation of Israel as he rescues them from captivity and leads them towards the promised land. What happens then? Yeah, we blow it. This isn't going great for people so far, is it? They lose trust in God because of all this, and they lose their faith. They say, actually, we want a king like the nations around us. Give us a king to lead us, they say. God hears their cry and says, no, that is not what you want. You don't want a king to rule over you. You don't want a king to take part of what you are. You want to be in partnership. But they cry out more, give us a king. And so God repents and gives him a king. Indeed, he even goes on to make a covenant with King David. But of course, what happens? We blow it. God, however, doesn't give up on us. He sends Jesus. The new covenant is offered. And once more, it's there for us to partner with God. You see, Jesus is about partnering with us. When he says, according to their faith, it's about a sure and certain knowledge that we are in partnership, in covenant with him. It's not about some magical belief. If you pray really, really, really hard, then he will answer your prayers. No, it's not about that. That's not faith. That's more about us than it is about Jesus. Indeed, at one point in the Gospels, Jesus says the disciples have little faith. So if it really is about them trying really hard, then there is no hope. But it's not about depending upon us. Our faith is about our reliance on Jesus, about turning to him, whatever the situation. It's not about our ability. That's not what faith covenant is about. Faith is about partnering with Jesus in prayer. And then whatever happens, about trusting that ultimately the outcome will be one of God's will. Not necessarily in that moment, but in the greater picture. That is covenant faith, covenant trust. That is covenant love. Whatever happens, we will be reconciled with God. Covenant faith is a whole lot harder to accept than a blind faith. It requires more intellectual work. It requires more spiritual work. It requires us to also act. See, we pray in faith and then we get off our backsides and we do what we can as well with the gifts that we have been given. As well as praying in conversation, we partnership with God in action as well. Covenant faith equals us being willing to be vulnerable and then to act. So what about your covenant faith? How do you express that right now? What part are you playing in that partnership in this stage of your life with God? You have all the covenant faith that you need. Now, what does that mean next for you? Can you imagine what would happen if we as individuals had covenant faith with God? A faith that said, I will pray as you have told me to pray. A faith that says, I will act. I will get up and act in a way that you have told me to act. And I will leave the rest with you. I will trust that ultimately we will be reconciled with you. Can you imagine what happened is individuals did that and then we come together as a group here in Bedhampton. There would be people who taught in covenant faith. There would be people who pastored in covenant faith, who took care of others in covenant faith. There would be those who actually prayed for healing and it came, an expression of that covenant faith. Whilst others would serve and give and show mercy. And others again would speak of the love of Jesus. Their expression of love of Jesus is their partnership in covenant faith. Can you imagine what would happen? God's kingdom would come. Now, my own expression of that covenant faith is a desire for you to join us. It's a desire for you to join us to see God's kingdom come in Bedhampton. That is my desire. That's the covenant faith I have to have with Jesus. I pray for it. I act upon it. And then I leave it with him. What today is your part of that covenant faith? We're going to take a moment now to listen to a song. Well, maybe sing it if you know it, an old hymn. Christ is the one who calls. And after that, as you reflect upon this covenant faith that we've been speaking about. There'd be an opportunity to say a prayer that we've said before, the covenant prayer from the Methodists, but only to say that if you want to. So let's reflect for the time being on what our covenant faith is with Jesus. What a great hymn to sing at this time. What a great hymn to listen to in reflection. I'm going to say the covenant prayer now, which comes from the Methodist tradition. We said that before on this service. And the words will come up on the screen. You might choose to say it with me. If you've made a decision today to maybe commit in covenant faith to Jesus in whatever way, or to move on in that, you might choose this as a moment to say these words with me. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. If you made a step in covenant faith with Jesus today in whatever way, whether that's a brand new one or a movement in an existing one, I'd love to hear about that. Just send me an email or give me a phone call and let me know. And now Sandra Matthews, one of our wardens who predominantly worships at St. Thomas's, is going to lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. The night is past and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O Lord, set our hearts on fire with love for you. Amen. We pray for the leaders of this country as they continue to negotiate on many fronts in troubled times. Give them wisdom and clarity in their decisions and sound judgment as we enter another period of lockdown. We give you thanks that the COVID vaccination program is being hastened, and we lift before you those working in its production. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those working on the front line, especially those working in hospitals who are feeling intolerable pressure and are afraid. For all who are looking after children of key workers and providing online education, and for all involved in food supply chains, from shipping to shop workers. We ask for God's strength, peace and comfort for them all. We pray for the people of the United States who are involved in law enforcement and in government there. And for the coming days, we ask that wisdom and discernment may prevail. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our parish here in Bedhampton, for our own unity and diversity, and for all the gifts we have been given. We pray for Max and Susie, and for your spirit to rest on all who serve you. We pray for those who will visit St. Thomas during this week for private prayer. May they be touched by the presence of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before God those who are sick or in need of our help, and mentioned in our weekly sheet, those about whom we are concerned or worried, and all whose situations weigh heavily upon us. We ask for his healing and his peace for them. We pray too for all who mourn the loss of loved ones, and in a moment of quiet, we pray for those close to our own heart. And finally, we lift to God our hopes, our fears, and our concerns for this day, asking that we may be used for God's glory in all that we do. At this Epiphany time, may God's light shine upon us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for leading us in prayers, Sandra. And as we come to the end of our time here together now, don't forget the opportunities to pray this week, the opportunities to pray on a Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock or any other time for that matter. The opportunities to join us on our Wednesday morning communion at 10 a.m, which is streamed online at 10 a.m. Don't come to the building, but it's streamed online. And don't forget the opportunity to join that resurrected prayer ring, that new prayer ring, if you want to be part of building God's kingdom here in Bedhampton. But as we go and as you move into this week, let me pray a prayer of blessing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And also with you. Why don't you pick up the phone to someone that you would normally worship with now and share some of that peace and catch up with them and see how they're doing and maybe share a little bit of your covenant faith with them today. Have a fantastic week and I hope to see you soon.
Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a